Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 6:46. I'm Howard Feldman. I'm being facetious, deliberately relax. Let's not get, as we said earlier, our knickers in a knot. What we do need to talk about, and on a very serious subject, is the issues of whistleblowers in South Africa, because we have seen a terrible amount of bad consequences taking place when somebody steps forward as a whistleblower. The president is going to be forced to answer questions on this, and I think that that is very important. Advocate Paul Hoffman, he's the director at the Institute for Accountability in Southern Africa. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. No complaints in Cape Town. The wind isn't blowing as hard as it has been.
Yeah, it's well, here we have got a rainy, cloudy day. It's one of those proper, you know, when the rain settles in for a while. So tell the wind to stop blowing so that we can get a little bit of clear air. So if it has stopped that already, that is good news for us here. All right, let's talk about the issue of whistleblowers, because obviously we need people who see corruption to step forward. But if we can't protect them, and if harm can come to them, then why in their right mind would anybody do that?
Yes, it is a huge problem, and it really is a symptom. Their lot at the moment is a symptom of the dysfunction in the Criminal Justice Administration. The time between the blowing of the whistle, giving of the evidence to the State Capture Commission, and the commencement of criminal proceedings is stretching ever longer because the National Prosecuting Authority does not get proper investigations from the hawks and does not have the necessary resources, staff, capacity, artificial intelligence, forensic skills to get on with the task of prosecuting the corrupt, thereby giving them a huge window of opportunity between the time that the whistle is blown and the time that the evidence is given in a criminal trial against the corrupt persons fingered by the whistleblower. It's far too long and presents far too many opportunities for intimidation, threats, murder.
Yeah, and in fact,
forcing people out the country.
Absolutely, it's because it's the perfect storm, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely what we would expect. These are people that have a tremendous amount to lose by the whistleblower stepping forward potentially. So they're already corrupt because that's why there's a whistleblower there. It's obvious that something like this can happen.
Yes, I'm afraid that is so, and the government is not responding appropriately, which is why we wrote to the president and asked that attention be given to changing the legal structures that are in place. The whistleblower protection legislation is really in two different acts. The one is called the Witness Protection Act, and it only really kicks in practice when the prosecution has identified somebody as a witness who is entitled to protection because that witness is vulnerable to attack by the accused person or some crony of the accused person. The Protected Disclosures Act, which is often invoked in the employer-employee relationship in order to prevent employers who have whistles blown against them from starting disciplinary proceedings or suspending whistleblowers, is really of limited application because it only applies to the employer-employee relationship and often it does not work effectively because employers with deep pockets just litigate the whistleblowers to death by stretching suspensions, by taking all sorts of points in litigation, and by then
right. So that's
reviewing.
Another tactic, yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's called the tyranny of litigation. And both of the acts could be amended in order to broaden their scope and to better protect whistleblowers. whistleblowers. We've already presented draft legislation to Parliament in which we have asked for a Chapter 9 anti-corruption body to be formed and to be tasked with the prevention, combating, investigation, and prosecution of serious corruption. And in the context of that reform, we have suggested that reform is also required in relation to the lot of whistleblowers. Gibbs, the Gordon's Institute of Business Science, has produced what it calls a white paper, a detailed consideration of what is at stake in the protection of whistleblowers. And that needs to be turned into new legislation quickly, because we cannot simply sit with our hands neatly folded and dither and delay in relation to putting things right. The president said in his evidence before the Zondo Commission that he would reserve his judgment on what needs to be done. It was in relation to appointing a dubious individual as a cabinet minister. He would wait until he gets the Zondo Commission report, which is only going to see the light of day next year. And Judge Zondo said to him, but Mr. President, what if somebody reviews the findings against them? Are you going to then kick the can further down the road? And the answer was yes, I am. So really,
so does that
governance by delay is not.
Yeah, it does that indicate a deliberate attempt to not deal with the issues? Do you think?
Yes. I'm afraid what psychologists call the avoidance syndrome is very much in evidence in South Africa at the moment. And it's because the platform of the current administration has two mutually contradictory main goals. The one is the unity of the ANC, which involves keeping the bad eggs inside the nest. And the other is the renewal and the new dawn, and that involves kicking the bad eggs out of the nest. And you can't have both. You've got to go one or the other. And I'm afraid we're getting neither at the moment.
It's a real concern. Do you think that, I know it's not exactly the subject that we're speaking about, but do you think that given the ANC's performance or failure during the local government elections, I know they're trying very hard. I was speaking a little bit earlier to our listeners about Fikile Mbalula, who said, we didn't lose the election. Basically, to paraphrase him, they didn't lose, they just didn't win. Something like that. I mean, it was an absurd, completely absurd tweet, and there was a whole series of them yesterday. But do you, that to me indicated a continual denial, instead of dealing with the fact that the people of the country are sick to death of their corruption. Are they not hearing it?
Yes, I'm afraid it's just too difficult. If you are seeking to keep the ANC united, then you have to remain passive on the countering of corruption in South Africa, because a lot of the corruption, not all of it, but a lot of it involves people who are either ANC politicians or deployed cadres, as they like to call themselves, of the ANC. And a lot of businesses are in cahoots with procurement malpractices and other ways of extracting public money for private gain, which is what corruption is all about. So until the government is prepared to seize the metal, we're going to continue on this downward spiral, to the point where the government changes hands and the ANC loses an election. But it's really a question of the political will to reform the Criminal Justice Administration so that it is better able to end the culture of impunity abroad among the corrupt in the land, and it is better able to protect the courageous whistleblowers who draw the attention of the authorities to the malfeasance and the corruption that is going on. So it's like a vicious circle, and the circle is broken when the political will is generated to get on and reform the Criminal Justice Administration in order to bring it into line with what the courts have said needs to be done. It's not as though there's no recipe. The courts, in a binding way, have laid down the criteria for the anti-corruption machinery of state in South Africa, and the administration has just done as little as possible to implement what the court requires, as a consequence of which the Hawks have never caught a big fish. The NPA just continuously makes excuses as to why it cannot get on with the prosecution of the corrupt, and the corrupt sail on with impunity, making the lives of whistleblowers impossible and effectively undermining the human rights of the poor in the country, because the money that is stolen is money that is earmarked for poverty alleviation, job creation, education, social services, housing, healthcare, all of the rights in the Bill of Rights cannot possibly be delivered
if the
money is leaking out of the system.
Do you think the president will take the question seriously?
I hope he does. I think on Monday I accused him of being a deliverer. And on Tuesday, I'm led to understand things started to move on the anti-corruption front, but I'm afraid the move was in the wrong direction. The president said in February that he wanted to appoint an anti-corruption advisory council to tell government what to do next about fixing the Criminal Justice Administration, and he wanted it to ponder the problem for 2 years. There's absolutely no need for such advice.
Yeah, well, he always reminds me, I often refer to him as Hamlet, because he was the prince. He had everybody on his side, but his indecision actually ultimately lands up with everybody dead on the stage, tragically. And that's exactly where we are, unfortunately, with Cyril Ramaphosa. He might be the prince. He might be the nicest person in the world. I have no idea, yes or no, but his inability to make a decision and act decisively will land up in many, many more being unfortunately dead on the stage.
Governance by committees and councils and whatnot is just a way of kicking the can down the road in relation to corruption. There's a very clear judgment of the highest court in the land that the current administration is in contempt of. They are not implementing a binding decision of the court. Well, we know what happened to Jacob Zuma when he didn't implement a binding decision of that same court. And maybe that's what needs to be done if the administration can't be moved.
Absolutely right. That is where we leave it. It is 6:59, about to go 7 a.m. That was Advocate Paul Hoffman, Director at the Institute for Accountability in Southern Africa. The theme, I guess, kicking the can down the road.